Everything that you need to know about the fallout from Cyclone Debbie and April Fool's Day. Coming up next on the Generic Live Show. We're waking you up or putting you to sleep. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Glad to have you with us on a Sunday. Yet again, another Sunday and another Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure as always as we're just heading in at 9 o'clock Australian Eastern Standard... Eastern Standard Time, Dawn. Eastern Standard Time Zone, 9 a.m. Australian, 9 p.m. rather, Australian Eastern Standard Time Zone, 7 p.m. Now 7:01 a.m. American Eastern Time, heading into another show. Now, notably, the biggest story this week has got to be the fallout from what has got to be, in recent memory, for me, it's got to be Cyclone Debbie. Now, for international listeners, this show is going to be, it's going to be very local, so keep that in mind. But for those who don't know, Cyclone is basically a hurricane, but backwards, if that makes sense. A hurricane, but it turns a different direction. So Cyclone Debbie devastated the east coast and it's still causing havoc to this day, despite it making landfall on Tuesday. So here is everything that you need to know. This is what we like doing here on the show, is breaking it down into little baby steps for you, into exactly what you need to know to be up to date on all of these issues. So what exactly happened? Cyclone Debbie made landfall near Ely Beach around midday on Tuesday as a Category 4 cyclone. The wild weather then swept down the eastern seaboard, dumping heavy rainfall that led to flooding across southeast Queensland and northern New South Wales. The death toll, 5 people have died in separate incidents due to the flooding, none due to the actual cyclone element itself. Two women aged 36 and 64 were swept away by floodwaters in New South Wales, while a 46-year-old man died in Moolawimba from a heart attack when paramedics couldn't reach him in time. A 45-year-old man was discovered dead south of Moolawimba Caravan Park, although cause of death is yet to be confirmed. And a 77-year-old man in Eagle Bay in southeast Queensland also passed away. There are 5 dead, 3 missing. There are 3 people missing. They're from Queensland. How many properties have been affected? As of the time of this recording, so 7:03 Eastern Time, 9:03 Australian Eastern Time, around 650 residents in northern Queensland have been ruled uninhabitable from cyclone damage, while the flooding itself has inundated 38 homes and still threatens about 250 properties in the southeast Queensland. Flooding in Rockhampton threatens 5,400 properties, including 3,000 homes. 15,000 properties were isolated by floodwaters in New South Wales, and 30,000 people is to evacuate. There is still more to come. Rockhampton's Fitzroy River is expected to peak at 9.4 metres on Wednesday. That is Wednesday being 3 days from now? 3 days from now? Sure, we might as well call today over. So yeah, 3 days from now, making its biggest flood in 63 years. By the way, the cyclone hit last Tuesday. So Tuesday just gone on the calendar, and the flooding won't hit until Wednesday. Where is the cleanup at that is the last category, last thing that you need to know. The army, the emergency workers and volunteers have started cleaning up in North Queensland, while some parts of Southeast Queensland are still waiting for flood waters to recede before the cleanup can begin. Northern New South Wales residents are still waiting for the all clear from authorities before they can return to their homes and count the cost of flooding. So let's start to, excuse me, let me just knock over my can here. So let's hear some audio from this, because there's a lot to hear. There's lots to witness from all of this kind of cyclone devastation, of course. We're gonna hear some audio now, before we come back to the actual story itself, because I think the audio, I believe, can sum up what it's exactly like. So here we go. Here are
Off the highway.
here is Sky News, some audio from Sky News. I don't know who the reporter is on this one, but he reports that the two dead in New Queensland because of the flooding that ex-tropical cyclone Debbie caused.
Here in Stotts Creek, traffic is flowing very freely at the moment. It's not the case about 1 kilometre to my right, in just to the north of me. Water is covering between one and two lanes of the freeway. Just on one lane, traffic is flowing and flowing very slowly, I must add. But certainly, the water is beginning to recede at a very slow rate in many of the worst affected flood areas, including Mooloolamba, as well as Lismore, which is just a bit further south. We have learned that the New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, is going to visit some of the regions here in far north New South Wales that have been affected by these devastating floods. Here she is on the latest.
I have heard confirmation just now that the 20,000 or so New South Wales residents who've been evacuated are still in that evacuation phase. It is not yet safe to ask anybody to return to their homes. Of course, we have seven or so evacuation sites where people are being taken care of.
Jim, obviously still a very serious situation for so many people here on the M1, just not too far from me. Many people wanting to be able to travel home this evening, but as the Premier says, many of those people who were evacuated simply will not be able to do that. The SES, they're continuing to conduct flood rescues. They've conducted hundreds of them now, including freeing people or rescuing people who haven't followed some of those flood evacuations orders and have needed to be rescued from their homes. The threat, though, is the potential now for a further threat, really.
Is more down towards Ballina. Some communities affected as we speak. An Indigenous community today that was evacuated, Cabbage Tree Island, I think it was called. But as we move down now towards Corakai and some of those lower stream towns like Woodburn, the important message is, if you've received that information, don't do what some others did in Lismore and choose to see if you can sit this out.
So, Jim, as the water does slowly recede, as we have seen it done today, some people have been able to clean up their homes. Many other homes, though, are still really flooded in, and it's going to be quite a while until residents can begin that clean-up operation, but certainly for many people south of Lismore, as we just heard, it's an anxious wait for them. This flood crisis here in northern New South Wales, it's far from over.
That was, excuse me, that was a reporter from Sky News reporting. The people that you heard there is the head of the SES there in New South Wales, and the New South Wales Premier also talking about the floods in New South Wales because of ex-tropical cyclone Debbie. Now let's talk about what's happening in Queensland. Now this one is a little much, but we'll let you hear the audio in this one too. So this one is, I'll put a preface on this one. This one is a man's body found in the Logan are in Queensland as the Logan River peak. So we're going to move to Queensland now, where the flooding is also taking its toll.
Breaking news this evening, Queensland police have confirmed they have found the body of a 77-year-old man who went missing in floodwaters at Eagleby near Beenleigh yesterday afternoon. The man was found by emergency crews just before 4 p.m. today, not far from where he was last seen. And we will, of course, keep you updated throughout the evening as more information comes to hand. And Sky News reporter Jackson Williams is in Ballina live now. And Jackson, authorities say that they are prepared to evacuate more communities if necessary. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, good evening to you. And it's because of the raging rivers, really, as the floodwaters flow out to ocean in waterways such as the Richmond River here in Ballina. Authorities really are monitoring the situation very close on the street here, just next to me, not too far from the river. Some of the residents here have taken preemptive action and have sandbagged just in case that the Richmond River here does break its banks. Yeah, if the Richmond River is going to flood anywhere, it's probably not going to be here in Ballina. The river still has to rise significantly if it does so. So that is some good news for local residents here. Of course, across northern New South Wales, the worst affected area, we are starting to see those floodwaters recede slowly, which is very good news. But as they do so, that water, of course, has to go somewhere, and that somewhere is downstream. So authorities are warning communities south of the current flood-affected areas really to be on alert.
Our concerns now really are around downstream from Lismore down towards Ballina. Some communities affected as we speak. An Indigenous community today that was evacuated, Cabbage Tree Island, I think it was called. But as we move down now towards Corakai and some of those lower stream towns like Woodburn, the important message is if you've received that information, don't do what some others did in Lismore and choose to see if you can sit this out.
The New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, was being briefed today on the flood crisis in northern New South Wales. She will, in fact, visit some of the flood-affected areas on Monday to see firsthand for herself the extent of the damage and the devastation. Here she is.
I have heard confirmation just now that the 20,000 or so New South Wales residents who've been evacuated are still in that evacuation phase. It is not yet safe to ask anybody to return to their homes. Of course, we have seven or so evacuation sites where people are being taken care of.
The message from authorities to those affected, please be patient. Please do not drive through flood waters. It is not worth the risk.
Apologies for the double up on some audio there. I wasn't aware that that was gonna happen. So apologies there. That's a very good point. Before we continue playing, people talking about this, it is a very very good point to kind of make sure you do not drive in flood waters. You can get swept away in flood waters very easily, and we see it up here in far north Queensland, where we're doing the generic live show from now. It's quite easy to see that you can actually get that. Yeah, you can get swept away very very easily, and it's like a tide. You don't swim in a rip because you know it's going to make you fly away. So do follow the advice. If you are hearing this in an affected area, please do follow your local most up to date advice. We don't have those advices here at GLS HQ because I don't think they're, because of the timeliness of this podcast, I don't think, plus the locality of the podcast where we're broadcasting from doesn't really help matters much if we bring to you those updates. Our final bit of audio here is the Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull encouraging people to stay safe in flood borders. Here is Malcolm Turnbull.
Unless this has been a very big and dangerous cyclone, the impact is going to be felt for some time. But we will, all Australians, get behind those communities that are affected, support them in their resilience and determination to clean up and recover and get back on their feet. And I just say finally, in terms of tourism, just remember, whether it's the Whitsundays or northern New South Wales, the flood will subside, the clean-up will occur, and it's back in business. And the best thing we can all do is take a holiday there and support those communities that will need a boost after the floods.
That is Malcolm Turnbull there saying a few words about staying safe in flood waters. Now, it's interesting that he mentioned that. The cleanup does occur, and it will occur, and I was actually having this conversation with someone yesterday. Funny how that topical, right? The cleanup and the cleanup from the floods will occur, and it will happen, and it will die down. We'll cut, and it's news, though. It's news for the time being. But these places will reopen for business. They will, and they will initially be down and out, and while the recovery phase happens. But we see it up here. We've seen it up here with storms and cyclones that have crossed the coast here locally. We've seen it happen, and tourism numbers can be very strong after that. After a storm passes through. But it's a catch-22 because you have to rely on that tourism to drive the economy for at least a while, because you're not going to get the money locally, because people are, while people are going to have some more time and they need to buy more locally to support themselves, particularly after a flood and their stocks have run pretty low. You got to think of it like this too. They're not going to have money to do impulse purchases as well, because they're just not going to have that money and that financial support behind them. So tourism has to drive the economy, otherwise the economies in some of these towns are just kind of fall over, and particularly on island areas as well, like the Whitsundays and Airlie Beach, although Airlie Beach is part of the mainland, but these tourist spots are going to literally fall over if they don't continue to have the tourism drive that economy for a while. We're going to get to the last bit of audio here. I don't know if this is a retread, and I do apologise for the ads. Jeez. The Australian, get your stuff together. Why are you playing a lot of ads? But we're going to... This might be a rehash of some of the audio, and I do apologise for that, but the message is very, very important. New South Wales... This one's titled, New South Wales Floodwaters Begin to Subside. We are going to cover this, by the way, in both hours of the program. Meanwhile, next hour, we're going to more focus on what they can do next, if that makes sense. What can happen next to recover from this? Here is this piece of audio from Sky News.
Reporter Jackson Williams is in Ballina. Jackson, we're starting to see those floodwaters receding in much of northern New South Wales now.
Jacinta, exactly right. We've seen widespread flooding across parts of northern New South Wales. I've arrived here in Ballina just in the past 15 minutes. It was one of the areas that authorities said this morning was a concern for them as water does move downstream. As I say, I've just arrived. Thankfully, there are no signs of flooding here at this stage, but it is a concern as the floodwater makes its way out to the coast here. There are a number of waterways here in Ballina, in the worst flood-affected areas, including in Lismore as well as Chindra and Mwillimbah. We are seeing the floodwaters very slowly starting to recede, but as I say, the concern now is for the areas south of the current affected areas.
Our concerns now really are around downstream from Lismore.
Okay, that's a rehash. That's nothing new. Sorry, I just want to try and get some new content here.
It's important advice from authorities that they continue to stress to motorists, please don't drive through floodwaters. The New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, was also there for that update earlier today. She confirmed that she will be visiting some of the flood. The advice from her.
Taken care of.
On those warnings and the latest advice from the authorities as they do come to hand, but certainly across much of northern New South Wales, as that water begins to recede, the full extent of the devastation of this this weather event, it is going to become known.
All right, Jackson Williams, live there from Ballina. Thanks for that update.
That is exactly right. So there you go. That is everything that you need to know about this weather event. And it has turned into a bit of a weather event. You're right. You had the cyclone cross at the Whitsundays. That caused massive damage. And we are focusing a little bit on the floods because that also causes a lot of damage as well. Though not much rain was packed into it when it was actually a cyclone. So that's why we're focusing sort of on the floods, because the floods have caused a lot, is going to be causing a lot more damage than the actual cyclone itself. Don't get me wrong, the cyclone has caused a lot of damage, but the floods do take a lot more as well. As we continue, and yes, do focus on those advices as well, as they are very, very, very important to follow. And I do apologize for the double ups on them, but do want to emphasize them as well. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, so we're going to lighten things up with underwear. Underwear has been around for a long time, but this time it's an innovation in the underwear realm that we didn't really need. Intrigued? You should be. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. It's 9:22. It's the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Yes. For Sunday, it's a wee wee Dale Campbell here with you. I don't know what that noise is. I don't know what this music is. I don't know what's going on here. Woo! Alright, we're talking about cycling. I have a cup of coffee and we're good to go. Alright, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure to be here. Now, you might have think that underwear. That's right. Underwear has done well over the years. So you would think that we didn't really need to add or take anything away from it to make it better or worse. Well, apparently, fake camel toe underwear is apparently a thing, and here's why we don't need it. Sushi, snow monkeys kicking back in hot springs. Wow, that sounds, I don't feel like I want to do that right now. Karaoke, sake, mind-boggling Japanese shows, but there is something that doesn't automatically get our tick of approval. It's fake camel toe underpants. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. That women are apparently clamoring for? Okay. That's meant to be a camel joke, I'm sure. It's there somewhere. In case everyone has been blissfully unaware of what a camel toe is. Oh, Jesus. Well done, by the way. Urban Dictionary defines it as the visible. Okay. how to make this PG rated. You know what? I don't feel like using my dump button today, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to... I'm going to note this down. Where are we? 9:27. Alright, so it... it's when the... is visible part of the... can be shown because of tight clothing. There you go. Noted! Alright, so there you go. When... is visibly shown through tight clothing. Okay, there you go. Why did I say it twice? Dear God, okay. You know what? I'm going to edit in... Side note, I'm going to edit in the girl screaming sound effect for that whole sentence, and that's going to make things sound even worse. So there you go. The so-called... Can I say that? Frontal wedgie looks like toes of a camel. Can I say that on air? I think I can. Can I say that? Yeah, I can say that. Alright. Hence the term camel toe. Alright. Wow. Right. Jesus. I'm gonna have to do a lot of editing on that last paragraph. But anyway. So now we've got that out of the way, we can happily move on and look why on earth anyone would want to manufacture a product that could replicate this awkward fashion fail. The pants called... Jesus. They're called party pants. I mean, seriously, come the... on, seriously. Really? They're called... Oh, Jesus. I'm going to have to use the... Dump that. Alright, whatever. Have a silicon pad. Thank God you didn't hear what happened in the last 7 seconds. Otherwise, that would have been so awkward. Have a silicon pad in the front that... enhances the female form. Wow. A pair can set you back $22 on eBay. This is, according to Elite Readers, the party pants have found a market with the transgender community. Male genitalia can be concealed quite effectively with these magical jocks. Well, I don't doubt it, because they can just... I'm not saying that. Why, oh why, did I do that? Do this to me. Okay, so here we go. It's all still a bit odd because the camel toe is a fashion accident that most women strenuously avoid. In fact, some companies such as Lululemon use their anti-camel toe technology as a selling point. Huh. Okay, that's odd. Right. Maybe we shouldn't be too shocked. It's not the first time a fashion accident turned into a trend. Remember those god-awful G-string jeans that you were kicking around for a while? Oh yeah, I remember those things. Or the C-string. Oh yes! The C-string. Jesus. But now we have camel toe pants. Camel toe panties, everyone. Get in quick. I swear this segment should have had just this playing the whole time. Hamilton underway! Yes! Get it in while it's on, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Okay. That was pretty good timing. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, Samsung... Actually, you know what? We won't do Samsung. We'll do this local story. So, Cairns Food on a Fork was yesterday, and we'll tell you how successful it was. I didn't go, but apparently it could become a monthly event with the community support. A bit of local news getting up in you after the break. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. What a strange segment that was. Oh, you know, when I started doing this show, I know I'm really hard up on a break, but you know what? I know it's my show and I'll do what I want. So, you know, when I first started doing this show, the last thing I thought I'd be talking about is camel toe underwear. and using my girl scream sound effect 3 times to dump audio. Oh, there you go. 9:32, everyone. Have fun. Stay safe. After this break, we'll get back to what matters most. Yay! Found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us, Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. It's a pleasure to be here, whether you're joining us live or on your hard drive. We're here for you. I'm having impeccable timing today. I don't know what it is, but it's happening today. All right, here we go. It's the last segment. By the way, that is going to be the clip of the week. That is going to be the clip of the year. If nothing else but fake camel toe come out this year, that is going to make my year so far. That story. Wow. Okay. We do broadcast live here in Cairns, far north Queensland. We are broadcasting live here. We are live and local. 24 minutes now to 10 o'clock here locally. So, Cairns on a Fork is the new event that's taking the community by storm. And I'm sure if people want to email in at genericliveshow@gmail.com, there you go. There's the email. I had something for that. There you go. There's the email. There's the email buzzer. So let me know out there if you have these sorts of events out there. I need to go to one of these, but they seem to be on a Saturday night. And I work on a Saturday night, so that's it doesn't really work out well for me, does it? So there you go. Anyway. Let me know if you have these sorts of events in your local area. So, because this is a phenomenon I find quite interesting, by the way. I just want to put that out there. I find this sort of event interesting. So, if you don't know what Food on a Fork is, or you don't have it in your local area, it's basically where... a bunch of food vendors get together and they kind of put on their signature sort of dish, if that makes sense. They put on their signature dish, and that's, you know, for a bunch of people, because they choose one dish and do it well, because you've got to, you know, pump out a whole bunch of dishes for thousands of people. So, getting to the actual story itself. There you go. A popular outdoor food event could be run monthly if Cairns Gastro Nights continue to throw their support behind the region's food van owners. Cairns on a Fork will did kick off its event yesterday with 10 new vendors. Coordinator Sean Ramsey said the new location at the Cairns Showgrounds will provide more space, better parking, and a designated kids area. We have 30 food vendors all up. Last time we had 20. I've got a sweet tooth, so I'm excited for the Donut Shack selling their mini donuts in a cup with cream and chocolate. That one's a pretty big hit, Mr. Ramsey said. It's actually surprising the amount of new businesses we have. Nando's, Java Boy, and Bushfire Grill will also host pop-up stores at the event. Mr. Ramsey had hoped to hold Cairns on a Fork every 2 months, but didn't want to inundate Cairns diners. He was humbled when 5,000 people attended his first event last year. Apparently, even more people attended attended the event this year, like yesterday. Apparently, the showgrounds was packed to the rim with people at this sort of thing. And I want to talk about food trucks in general, by the way. Food trucks seem to be a huge thing at the moment. Who would have thought 2017, on April 2nd, 2017, that food trucks would be the whole new rage? But apparently they are. I mean, it's food that is cooked and prepared in the back of a truck and served to you. I mean, it's prepared healthily and it's prepared... You still have to pass food safety regulation, but I never thought that people would be going... It's kind of a middle ground. It's not home cooking, and it's not at a restaurant. It's more this casual dining experience that you see more and more of. And, you know, it's kind... You do see a lot more of it, particularly in capital cities. It's kind of bringing that big city feel to regional areas in events like this with Cairns Food on a Fork and other events much like it, I'm sure. It's this getting together of casual dining experiences that I could get behind. I mean, I work every Saturday night, so I don't really see myself getting behind it too much, but, you know, I think it's good to have these events because it's a trend, and I don't know how long it'll last, or I don't know who necessarily the market is, but it does seem like it's a good thing. I'd get behind it, you know? It's good to see, and they're independent, most of them, I should say, are independent businesses, or they're franchises that have local people own them, so at least the money's kind of staying within the local area, so it's not going too far out of the zone. Excuse me, just gonna wiggle my microphone around and make it cause all sorts of noise. Hope you don't mind. Anyway, so Food on a Fork, back to that. Yeah, I don't hate it. But monthly, organizing 30 food vans to put up this every single month, that has to cost them on the food vendors side of things too, wouldn't you think? To come host an event for so many people once a month, you got to staff that thing and make sure that you're pumping out quality food. I mean, it's hard to do, but if they want to host it monthly, that's, hey, more power to them, you know. You gotta do what you have to do. Speaking of more power to them, Samsung! Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. You know, the Galaxy S5's kind of, you know, not the Galaxy S5. The S5 is what I have. The Samsung Galaxy 8 is what I meant to say, you know, but that didn't really work. It seems to be kind of looking up for them, really. Release date in 2017. I need to change. I need to do a special feature on online subscription news articles. By the way, just want to put that out there. Whenever I've got a spare moment, I'm going to do a feature on that, because it's starting to pee me off just a little, that the fact that I have to pay for news articles. So there you go. Keep free the news. So, but we will continue to talk about the S8. The S8's worst feature might be coming to the iPhone? There you go. Oh, what is that? What in the world? What is this? Hey, what is this? What is going on?
That's odd.
I don't know what's going on.
Clever Felix. He'll do anything for
you. I don't know what's going on. Why are ads playing and I don't know what to do? All right, there you go. Wow. Jeez. I have no idea what that was. All right, so, wow. Okay, Samsung 8. It's here. Go. Let's do this thing. All right. Let's not play an advertisement. Thank you. Yep. Just gone through that. The Samsung 8 is here. Jesus, wow. This, Jesus. All right, so, the highly anticipated new addition to the flagship Galaxy S range is unveiled, so let's go. The Samsung 8 sports an 5.8-inch quad HD display, which is an impressive 870 pixels per inch. Samsung will also launch with a variation with a 6.2-inch a larger 6.2-inch quad HD display with will be marketed as the Galaxy S8 Plus. For comparison, both the Galaxy S8 and the Galaxy S8 Plus will support larger displays than the Galaxy S7, S7 Edge, iPhone 7, and 7 Plus. But despite the dramatic increase in screen real estate, the S8 is physically much smaller than its Apple counterpart. There you go. Let's just get to jeepers. Where am I here? At launch, Brixy will only integrate a Samsung... Oh, what? Did I miss something? Samsung Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus boost a new button on the left-hand side beneath the volume rocker dedicated to Brixy. The later Samsung's new voice control assistant, which the firm hopes will rival the likes of Amazon Alexa, Cortana, and Siri. There you go. Oh, I want to hear this. Can we hear this, or is an ad going to play? An ad's going to play, but I really want to hear this. At launch, Brixy only integrates a handful of Samsung apps, but however, Samsung is assured us that it has plans to integrate other people. Blah, 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 it's got lots of things.
Right, display gives you an incredible full screen experience, yet fits comfortably in your hand. We created it by reorganizing the phone's interior, making components smaller without sacrificing performance, and embedding the home button under the screen. We created the beautifully curved edge display and also erased the bezels to give you more space for the things that matter. Creating a level of immersion you see and feel. Even games and movies are completely different with the Infinity Display's cinematic full screen experience. And a bigger screen gives you the room to multitask seamlessly.
Ooh, multitasking, there you go.
The Galaxy S8 also presents a whole new way to interact with your phone, like Bixby.
Bixby, capture the screen and text it to Jane.
Bixby gets smarter and more intuitive with every use. And if you find something you like, Bixby analyzes it and provides information without having to type a single word.
Okay, that's cool.
Bixby evolves as it learns your routine, so you'll have the right content just when you need it.
Okay, that's getting boring. All right, so... Samsung Galaxy S8 will retail for £689 in the United Kingdom. This is a United Kingdom article that I had to pull up last second. Meanwhile, the larger will retail at £779 UK. They'll have detailed pricing on all mobile carriers soon. Availability. Pre-orders will go on March 29th. UK pre-orders will go on March 29th until April 19th. Pre-orders will receive their devices from 20th of April, subject to availability. And it'll be the S8 and S8 Plus will launch officially to the public on April 28th. So there you go. What about this worst feature? So here we go. So that's the S8. So S8's pretty... It's an upgrade. Which I might actually make the jump. I need a new phone because I've still got an S5. Which, yes. Yeah, I'm using a phone that's 3 years old. Yeah. Whatever. So, yeah, Dale, whatever. But both the display sizes are larger than the Samsung S7. However, the physical side of the Galaxy S smartphones has remained relatively compact, thanks to the decision to drop all physical bundles from the front of the device. Samsung has swapped its captive touch buttons from the front of the device in favour of on-screen navigation buttons. Unfortunately, that decision means Samsung will have to relocate fingerprint scanner to the rear of the device. And now it appears that Apple can be forced to make some compromise in its next iPhones. A sketchy new rumor from secondhand sources from Foxconn suggests Apple is looking to relocate its Touch ID finger scanner to the rear of the device as well. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. You know, it's a thing. They're following each other. You know, there's only so much you can work with. Well, there is literally only so much you can work with a small screen. There's only so much real estate that you can work with there. So, yeah, can't really do much. There you go. Apple and Samsung copying each other. Surprise! As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, it's time. It's everyone's favorite segment. It's time to check the Trump Tracker. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. It's Trump Tracker time here on the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday with Dale Campbell. It's 9:51. To give you a big dose of genericness. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show Sunday evening. Dale Campbell here with you on the Generic Live Show. Pleasure to be here as always. Now it's time for everyone's favorite segment. It's time to check the Trump Tracker. Yay! Alright, so we are at day number 72 of the Trump administration, with 1,388 days left in his term. Yay! This is in coordination with the Washington Post. So this is the Generic Live Show, Washington Post Trump Tracker. Day 72 of the Trump administration, with 1,388 days left in his term. There you go. So we're gonna keep track of what he does. So this is actually, I've realized this the other day. People don't really like this segment, but it's kind of like, for me, it's kind of like we're gonna put, this actually does free up a lot of time within the actual show itself. We do talk about politics if it's a worldwide thing. Like the Trump care thing was, but we'll get to that. Oh boy, we'll get to the fallout of that in this segment. But it condenses all of that into one 6-minute segment, if you will. So it's actually well designed. So here we go. So, gosh, where were we up to with this? I mean, we'll expand vocational or technical education. Were we up to that? Maybe, I think, I'm not too sure. Let's see where we were. I mean, we all know the difference. So suspend immigration from terror religious countries. So he's kind of stuck on that front. Still can't get a ban passed to stop immigration. Let states manage Medicaid funds. Trump has backed the House Republican plan, which would convert Medicaid into a per capita block grant. In terms of education, redirect education money to give parents the right to send their kids to private, public, charter, magnet, or religious or home schools of their choice. That's a $1.4 billion plan to shift towards expanding charter schools and private schools, vouchers and other alternatives to traditional public schools. Removing 2 million criminal illegal immigrants from the country. That's in process at the moment. And let's see where we're up to. Expand vocational and technical education, which I've talked about. Made 2 to 4 year college year affordable. Wah, wah. Trump's budget contains a deep cut in aid and low-income and first-generation college students. Bah, bah. Eliminate the defense sequitur. I don't know what that means, but the budget says so we'll take that for what it is. Expand military investment. Trump's proposed budget would boost defense spending, through some critics says it may fall short, but we'll mark it as in progress. So there you go. Now here is the big one. Fully repeal and replace Obamacare. So this has been marked as promise broken. Oh. Republican lawmakers proposed a budget blueprint that would repeal parts of the Affordable Care Act. On January 2nd, Trump signed an executive order designed to set in motion to repeal the law. On March 7th, Trump threw his support behind House GOP plan, which was heavily criticized by conservatives and moderates in the party. On March 24th, Republicans pulled the bill since it lacked support, prompting House Speaker Paul Ryan to say Obamacare remains law of the land. Oh. Meanwhile, in terms of energy, lift the restrictions on the production of $50 trillion worth job-producing American energy reserves, including shale, oil, natural gas, and clean coal. On March 28th, Trump signed an order that instructed federal regulations to rewrite the key Obama-era rules curbing U.S. carbon emissions, namely the Clean Power Plan. There you go. So the big news out of the Trump train here, as we're seeing this week, is the Obamacare story, which I reckon that will be a big sticking point, because I think, where are we now? We're at six kept, three broken, 12 launched, two stuck. So we're at six wins, three losses, and two draws. So, I mean, and 12 to be decided, and 37 not yet rated. I mean, it's, to be fair, yeah, that Obamacare one is going to be a very, very big sticking point with the Trump, and particularly Trump himself, because that is something that he ran on and all the Republicans ran on. I remember it throughout that campaign. That was rigorous, and particularly on the election night coverage, we were talking about that the whole night. I was talking about that as well, that is what they ran on. So to have them go through with that plan, that's going to be a big, massive blow, and I don't know what's going to happen next. So here you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, we're going to start, I'm debating something here. You know what, we're going to start the second hour on a little bit of a high note, because we're going to change things around. We're going to mix things up. We're going to start hour two on a positive note. It was April Fool's Day yesterday, so you know what? We're going to give you the highlights and the lowlights of everything April Fools. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us. It's 10 o'clock.